Yeah, Mike, thanks for your time. And, hey, this is going to be something a little bit different, OK? Given the last couple of months, I'm not going to ask about Usain Bolt. Do you,
okay, no problem.
Do you believe me?
No problem. I believe you, Adam, because you're a believable guy.
Thanks. I've got my fingers crossed here under the table. mate, how is this going to pan out in your estimation? Because you, let's be honest, you're coming off a low base. The club's coming off a low base. So what is acceptable in your eyes this season for the Central Coast Mariners?
Well, when I first arrived, it was a case of changing the narrative. You know, people had blamed the owner for not putting in enough money, and the club had undervalued where they were in the big scheme of things. But I think that, you know, I'm an optimist, and I look at this season as a real opportunity to prove some doubters wrong. You know, the club has been perennially for the last 4 years down the bottom of the table. But if we look for the 11 previous years, you know, they were contesting grand finals. They won one grand final. And they were overachievers. So we want to get back to, basically, if I can put it in a layman's term, we want to be ultra-competitive in every game. And that's the number one priority.
Mm. You saw that game that ended last season.
I did indeed.
And it was a disaster.
It was.
Every way you look at it. So how did you look at it, though, in terms of what you needed to do? Because you knew you had the job there. You're sitting in the stands all expectant about what these players can show you because they know you're in the stands as well. What did you learn?
Well, I think the answer lies in what happens in the following weeks. You know, it gave me a clean slate to be able to do whatever we wanted to do to get the club where we wanted to get to. And consequently, you know, some players left, and we had to go and, you know, get players in who were actually going to change the dressing room. Every coach understands that how important the dressing room is to a football club, whether it be football, AFL, rugby league, rugby union. And you needed people in there who understood virtually how to win. Mm-hmm. Because I think there was 10 wins or 11 wins in the last 4 years. Now that is, if people are accepting of that, then they're accepting of failure in my mind. So we had to change that that concept in everyone's mind. So if anybody who was associated with the immediate past had to be sort of questioned in a way, and they had to prove that they really were here for the club and wanted to improve the fortunes of the club going forward. So, as you see, we've had quite a number of players turn over. We brought in some good players. And, you know, I spoke to a few people before the season start, before the pre-season started, and I said, what is it that Central Coast Mariners means to you in terms of the A-League? And I sought some people's opinions. And I think one of the consensuses was that we need to bring back people who understood what it was to play for Central Coast Mariners. Mm. But you can't do that just for the sake of doing it. You have to bring people back who are capable and understand now that they can still play. And consequently, we've got Matt Simon and Mike McGlinchey back. And we brought Nick Montgomery from, you know, retired a year or so earlier, and we brought him back in as an assistant coach. And these guys, they epitomize what it is that the Mariners is all about. They've been through the successful times. Nick was there just recently where it wasn't so successful as well. So I think that was a core element that I had to get back to the club. And then it was a question of just saying, look, the line in the sand has been drawn. Mm. If you want to step forward, these are the values. This is the culture that we're going to bring to the club. Are you in or are you out?
The owner. Now, I know this is difficult to might not be difficult to answer, but it's always difficult to talk about your boss because, I mean, if you sat here and were asking questions of my boss, I'm not going to sit here with a microphone pinned on my head and this going out in a podcast and bag him. I'm going to say nice things about him. But he does elicit opinion. Put it that way, Mike Charlesworth. What have you found him to be? Have you found him to be hands-on? Has he given you everything you need in terms of support, both financial and otherwise, in this pre-season?
Well, look, I'll answer that in a few ways. The first thing I asked him when I spoke to him about the job was basically, I said, tell me exactly what it is, exactly what the situation is. You know, how much do we spend, what your expectations are, et cetera, et cetera. And he was completely honest with me because I wouldn't have taken the job on any other pretense. So I think that honesty and that trust has been built straight away. Now, I met Mike a number of years ago in a function when Brisbane played Central Coast. I think it was Bathurst. And that was the only time we'd ever met. So then we had this conversation, and I said to him, I said, look, just tell me exactly what it is. He told me. I said, okay. I said, one thing I will not do, I will not come knocking on your door asking for more money because you've already told me where the parameters are and I'm going to accept the job on those parameters.
What if he says there's less money?
Well, we knew what the parameters were. Yeah. I knew what the parameters were and I agreed to whatever it was. And you see, in Australia, we have this salary cap. Now, let's say it's $3 million. Mm. And so many clubs are able to spend over above that because they've got the means to do it. Yep. Now, we haven't got the means to do that at the moment, but we still spend a not insignificant amount of money on salary cap. So 18 weeks of the preseason, we've got the opportunity to go and spend that $3 million in the way that we want. So why should I, after that period of time, be able to go back and knock on his door and say, you didn't give me... He's given me the money. I've gone and spent the money on these players that we've got this season. Now, sometimes you already inherit players and you deal with the players that you've already got. But the bottom line is that we don't need to dwell on what we don't have. We have to dwell on what we actually do have, and we work very hard with the players that we have. I'm very happy with the players that we've got right now because, A, their attitude is fantastic so far. And they've bought into what we're trying to do. Now, in football, there's 10 clubs, 23 players per club. That's 230 players. 50 of those are foreigners. 20 of those are, or 20 or 30 of those are goalkeepers, depending on whether you have two or three goalkeepers. There's only 160 positions for Australian players. Mm. So, you know, what we have the opportunity to do is to go and choose our own players. In Australia, I've come back after 3 years outside of the country, and I've seen that there's a lot of players who have had 5, 6, 7 clubs, and it's like a washing machine effect. Mm. So we've sort of looked out of that, and we've gone for looking, you know, for NPL players. We must have had close to 50 players, I think.
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah, you had a high turnover of players. And you can. This is off topic a little bit of the Central Coast Mariners. Sure. It's more a general thing for Australian football. Is the gap closing from what you've seen, your time in Brisbane, to maybe the last 3 or 4 years, and maybe you could say that the FFA Cup has had a little bit of an effect here, or the lure perhaps for these NPL clubs that one day soon a second division might be coming in, so they're lifting their standards that way, or they're just lifting their standards full stop. Do you see a closure in the gap in terms of standard of NPL player to A-League player?
You need to be careful how you answer that. let's look at the physiological side of things. An NPL player trains potentially 2 to 3 times a week for 40 weeks of the year. An A-League player possibly trains 6 to 7, maybe 8 times a season a week for 44 weeks of the year, 45, maybe 46. Then you've got to take into the account of the level of intensity at those training sessions, the quality of coaching at those training sessions, the quality of players involved in those training sessions. So when a player gets to 25, 26, if he's had 5 years of NPL playing football, that's an accumulation of 2 to 3 times a week with the level of intensity that they've got versus an A-League player who's been doing it for 5 or 6 years and has been training 5, 6, 7, 8 times a week at a higher intensity with better quality players. That is a big deficit. A very big deficit. Now, what we've found, and I can only, you know, talk about what I found here and when I found it in Brisbane previously. Mm. The players are coming in and they've gone from an NPL season where they started in, I don't know, November. They come back to us in May and we want them to keep going all the way through to the end of the following May. Mm. We've got to give them a break. Now, we do some scientific testing, I'm sure a lot of clubs do. One of the things is a force plate. We can tell how our guys traveling in terms of fatigue level from testing this force plate every week. And then there's obviously other parameters that you can test. But to answer your question bluntly, the players in the NPL level are as talented. There's no question about that. But they need an opportunity. And the timing is absolutely crucial when they get in, when they get the opportunity. And that's why our academies are so vital for our future, not just for A-League clubs, but for Australian football as a whole.
And you've given a few of these guys from the NPL a chance, and the Mariners, and obviously Mike Phelan, who's come in as a sporting director, is going to have a really close look at how the Mariners develop players from within. But you went out and plucked a couple from the NPL that you liked. You gave a stack of trials, as you mentioned before, but a couple got through and are now full-time Mariners.
Yeah, well, you look at Matt Miller, we got from South Melbourne. You know, he's got an awful lot to learn. We've got Josh McDonald, we've got Jordan Murray, and we've got Peter Kikaris, who was from our youth system. I'm excited about what these guys can achieve, but we have to look after them. We can't just throw them into the line and say, well, you're going to train six, seven nights a week or whatever it is, and you're going to break them. Unless you... one of my mentors said to me one day, don't ask somebody to do, you know, something that is technically and tactically acceptable unless you've got them properly fit. So don't give them the physical tools first. I love to give these guys opportunities, but at the end of the day, we got to win. If you don't win, then we're your history. Basically.
You're out the door. Yeah.
Exactly. And so we're asking a lot of these young guys, but I've got faith in them.
You won in Brisbane, and then you didn't win a couple of games at the start of the next season, and all of a sudden you were gone. I don't want to dwell too much on the past, but what did you learn about that, and does it serve as any type of motivation whatsoever, in particular for your first game back in the A-League with the Central Coast Mariners?
Look, there's a lot to be talked about that. I have not made one public comment since that particular day, and I'm not going to start right now. That's in the hands of my lawyers, and it will be until it's resolved. But the bottom line is this situation with what I learned. I can tell you quite open that I am a much better coach now than I was back then.
Why is that?
Because experience, reflection, time away, spent in a different culture, seeing some things that what did that happen there? How did that happen?
Malaysia, you're talking about?
I am just saying, wherever I've been, I've seen many, many things that have opened my eyes.
Can you give us a story? Don't pin it on where you were or whatever. Just give us a story that opened your eyes a little bit. Because we sit in our little cocoon down here in Australia and we think we're all comfortable and we've got a nice little A-League and we've got the local clubs and obviously a bit needs to be done.
I'll tell you a story. When I first was at Brisbane, we got drawn against Buriram, which is one of the top teams in Thailand.
Yep.
And everybody I spoke to was absolutely dismissive of Buriram and said, how can you not beat them? We went there, we drew 0-0, we lost on penalties.
Mike Cockerell wouldn't have been.
No.
He was a big fan of that club.
Mike knew about it. But you know what? This club, I've been We played there the night that they won the championship last year in Thailand at Buriram, and we got absolutely smashed 5-1. And the crowd was amazing. The atmosphere was amazing. The if I told you what the guys were on to win that game, their guys, what they were on, it was mouth-watering. It pales into insignificance what we pay our players here.
The A-League salary cap in one night, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There is... I don't want to talk about it as, it's money to burn.
Yeah, it's an incentive, and they can do it, so... Yeah,
and it's no wonder why a lot of players are looking from here to there. The tax rate is very different, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot to appeal for it, but I'm telling you as well, the football is very good. The football is very good, and we shall not be dismissive of it, you know? I mean, Thailand played Australia last year in the World Cup.
The qualifiers.
So, look, now, I can't. I'll tell you off air a few more stories.
That's no good for people listening. But in terms of your coaching and bringing it back here and using it to effect to improve the Mariners, it has had an effect. Those things that you good and bad experiences over there that you've come back here and you're going to hopefully utilise for a positive thing for your new club.
That's right. This season, 9 coaches in the first 9 weeks of 18 teams were sacked within the first 9 weeks of the season
entirely.
In Thailand.
Well, hopefully it doesn't continue for the A-League.
No, but it's,
everyone will be out of a job.
It is a fact of life, and players turn over very, very quickly as well.
Yep. Fair enough. What kind of football are you going to play?
Good, open, attractive football. That would be lovely to hear, wouldn't it? But yeah. You know what? At the end of the day, I was speaking to a very good friend of mine just the other day when we were looking at stats from all over the world and in terms of how the game has changed or not changed. People, as I said earlier on, you know, we've won 10 games in the last 4 years, and that's not good enough. So we have to start winning. You have to learn how to win. Mm. You have to know how to win. Bringing some of the players that I've brought back in will help that. But at the end of the day, we need to put people on the park that are going to be ultra competitive. You can't concentrate on the outcome. You've got to concentrate on the process. Everybody says that, but it is very true. Mm. And that process basically started when I first got there to the club with regards to the changing of personnel, the start of pre-season, bringing the staff in and getting us working, and then understanding what mission we're on. What are we actually trying to achieve? You know, people say we 10th last year, 9th will be an improvement. But you know me, Adam, a little bit from the last few years. That's not going to be good enough for me. Mm. I want to be challenging. I want to be, you know, I want our players to have so much pride in the shirt that they go out and that our stadium is a fortress. Mm. And when we go away, that we're a force in the game. And, you know, I've seen the recruitment that's happening throughout the league. It's been very good. Mm. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of competition. The A-League, I can see from the 3 years I've been away, is where it is right now. But in 3 years' time, I can see it being very, very different. I can see promotion and relegation over the horizon somewhere down the line. It's a must. It's got to happen. And we, as a club, need to position ourselves in the right way for the next few years with regards to our youth development, with regards to our first team, and be part of the very exciting future that is the A-League.
Mike, good to see you back. Best of luck this season, and thanks for your time today.
Anytime, Adam. Thank you.